Let me pray for us just as we turn our hearts to the Word this morning. I'm really making a lot of windy noise here. We're going to move this a little further away. There we go. Still there. There we go. That'll work better. All right, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for this place that we can come openly and freely, that we can enjoy the body of believers. God, that we can experience heaven in just a small way here and now, God, as we are gathered with your people. And Father, we just, as we're gathered, we just ask your blessing over this time. We ask as we turn now to your word that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you today. God, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in a theme for this year called Encounters. We're trying to understand what it means to be rooted and established in Christ, what it means to encounter Jesus in our daily lives, and beyond something like kind of bumping into him here and there. Because as believers, we say that the Spirit is living in us. Jesus is with us. We are being transformed into his image. And so we're not just bumping into Jesus, but as we go about our daily lives, we want to become more and more adept at seeing what Jesus is doing around us. Seeing how he is at work in the world around us. And so we're trying to study different ways that we can become more in tune with God. More in tune with God's Spirit. And the passage that we've kind of built this thing around is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. And if you want to turn there, you can. Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. It'll be on the screen as well. And I wasn't going to do all this, but I was just reading this passage as I was preparing this week, and as I read this passage, it just was amazing. I mean, God's word is all amazing. It's all really good, right? But as I was just reading through this passage, it was just blowing me away what God was saying here. And it says this, Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's trying to encourage them. And he says this, Ephesians chapter 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What an incredible passage to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ. This incredible love that moved him to give up his heavenly seat and become human for us, walk a human life, and then to be tortured and killed for us, to take our sins upon himself. And so that we can know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we can be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. That's amazing. That got me really excited. And that's what we're trying to do as we study this encounters, as we study this idea of trying to find and see Jesus more and more clearly. It's being filled with God so fully that we start to see him at work everywhere, in every situation, in every part of our lives, and every choice and every move that we make is motivated by this incredible love that we understand, that he helps us to see. These are pretty crazy promises, but they're there. They're real. And so as we're doing that, we're going to be looking through a variety of different things. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark a little bit later this year. We're going to be looking at the book of Colossians, one of my favorite letters. We're going to be doing some other things, but we're starting with spiritual disciplines. And I know for a lot of us, probably we hear spiritual disciplines and we go, this is not something that's necessarily really exciting. But spiritual disciplines are absolutely crucial in our relationship with Jesus, in our journey with God. And what Pastor Dennis has been describing over the last few weeks is the idea of trying to wear down this path between us and God, that we can be more and more comfortable, more and more in tune with him. And he said as well that God isn't far from us. And so the idea of the path is a little bit maybe misleading because he lives inside of us. But we want to have a clear channel of communication with God. We want that path between us and him to be well-worn, that we are comfortable knowing that he is always there, spending time with him, being with him. We want to cultivate this deep connection with God so that, as it says in Ephesians, that Christ can dwell in our hearts, that he lives there. And it starts with the Spirit giving us life. But then, as Dennis explored over the last couple of weeks, one of the most important things that we can do is be in the Word. It starts with the Spirit giving us life and bringing the Word to life. But the foundation of our experience of God, of our journey with him, is his Word. That's one of the direction. That's the one of our there's six of them now, but our vision statements. And it's this idea that the Bible is the authority in our lives. It is the thing that we go to when we have questions, when we are encountering things in our life. The Bible is the foundation. The Word of God is a living and active thing. It brings us life. It helps us to know who God is, who we are, what we are supposed to be doing. And so it all begins with the Word, and we have to have this desire to know God more and more deeply and intimately, and we do that through his Word. We need to read it. We need to know it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. We need to allow it to fill us and to mold us and to shape us. So the Word is everything. But this week we're going to move a little further and we're going to talk about prayer. And when you think spiritual disciplines, you think two things: read your Bible and pray. There's even a little song about it. They're probably singing it back there this week. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Anyone? I don't know. I sang it growing up anyways. But these are the two things. If you ask any believer to give some spiritual disciplines, to tell you what's important if you want to grow in your relationship with God, these two are going to be on every list. There's lots of other things that are important. Gathering together with the believers on Sunday, serving and tithing, so many things that are important. But reading our Bible and praying are just the starting point. They're it. If you ask any believer, you want to grow in your relationship with God, those two things are it. Start there. And so many things flow from that. And so we want to explore a little bit what prayer is all about. What does prayer look like? Why is it important? What does that even mean? What does it look like to build and maintain a healthy prayer life? Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Prayer is just an absolutely critical part of our lives. And yet, how many of us would say that we really love to pray? How many of us would say that we're consistent in prayer? Some of us doubtless are. And that is awesome. But how many of us would say that prayer is that huge part of our lives that we've been describing? And really, it's kind of a weird struggle, because when we really think about what prayer actually is, what we're doing, it's pretty exciting. It's kind of neat. I mean, when we're praying, we are communing with God. We are talking to God. And that's a word that we use in so many different ways that it gets a little confused. But we are talking to the creator of the universe, this being that spoke everything into existence. The power behind the sun and the stars and all of creation, the mind that conceived every aspect of every person and everything that has ever happened, who knows the very numbers of hairs on your head, the very number of heartbeats in your life. And he wants to talk to you.
to laugh with you, to cry with you, to hear your triumphs and your victories, your hurts and your struggles, your hopes and your dreams and your fears. And he wants to tell you who he is. He wants to tell you all about himself and his love and his mercy and his grace, of his kingdom and his glory. He wants to tell you who you are, who he created you to be, what he has planned for you, his hopes for you. How can that be hard? How can that be a struggle? How could that be boring? When that's what we're doing. Why do I still struggle to pray if that's what's happening? When that's who I'm supposed to be praying to. But maybe that's really the first question. Who are we praying to when we pray? And I know that sounds like a weird question because I just described it, right? We're praying to God. Of course we are, but what does that really mean? What does that actually look like? When we really think about it, when we talk about who God is, we can have this incredible journey through all the amazing things that God is. But I think this is where a lot of people actually get tripped up, because I wonder if when we're praying, we're not actually praying to God sometimes. If we're just praying to the wall or to the inside of your eyelids, if you're a closed eyes prayer. Or if you're just kind of praying to an imaginary friend almost, this abstract concept. It feels weird. It's a little bit strange to sit in silence and just think words at kind of something. It can be difficult to keep our mind on what we're doing, to stay focused on this bigger picture of who God is, this incredible being that is so powerful and amazing and loving and intimate and personal. And our picture of God is so critical in this. The way that we understand him, who we think he is, will have a huge impact on our ability to pray. How you describe God, who you think he is, impacts your ability to pray in a very deep and profound way. And that is why the word is so important. Because our picture of God can get screwed up in all kinds of ways. There's so many voices speaking in our lives. And we can become confused and lost with who God is. But we don't have to guess. We don't get to make up God in our own image. We don't get to pretend whatever we want about him. He has told us who he is, at least in part. He's given us words about himself, tried to describe himself to us so that we're not left lost and alone. We turn to different passages like Psalm 19. Talks about the power of God. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Psalm 23 talks about the care of God, how he wants to take care of us. The Lord is my shepherd, it says. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. This relationship with God, this connection, this shepherding spirit that God has. Psalm 139 talks about how God knows us, how he knows us so intimately and deeply. It says, O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You've perceived my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. He's all around us. When we pray, we're not talking to ourselves. We're not talking to our imaginary friend. We're not talking to the wall or to some abstract idea, a philosophical concept. We're talking to God, this God who created the heavens, who cares for us, who knows you so intimately and deeply, who knows the words you speak before you even speak them. And we have to keep that before our eyes. We can't allow ourselves to be distracted and start praying to something that isn't real. When we pray, when we come before God, we have to remember where we are. There's lots of different ways that we pray, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. You can pray throughout your day, just with kind of little prayers, as Dennis talked about, kind of reminding yourself. Maybe it's a word or a breath prayer, some traditions call it, that can just remind yourself, bring you back to center, remembering who God is. But one of the things that C.S. Lewis talked about was the significance of the position of our bodies and our hearts. And I've always found this to be an interesting idea. And he talked about the fact that if we are going to prostrate ourselves before God in prayer, it can be very meaningful to do that with our bodies as well, to kneel or to lie, even face down. Obviously, you're not going to do that in a restaurant or something if you're praying for a meal or something like that. But when we are coming to really pray deeply with God, the position of our bodies can have a huge part in that. It can be an exercise that can really help us to remember what we're doing, to focus us. It can even help you stay focused in that. I find kneeling not very comfortable. So it helps my mind not to wander maybe as much. Still does. It can't stop that entirely. But the position of our bodies and our spirits is connected. And so when we come before God, we can help ourselves to be connected to God in that way. But the word, we need to be drawing our picture of who God is, our understanding of who God is from his word. He's told us who he is. He wants us to understand. We're not following him blindly. And so when we pray, the word is a huge part of that. But why should we be praying? I mean, that's a fair question as well. If God knows everything already, if he even knows the words I speak before I speak them, if he knows everything I need, and he's promised to take care of me, why do I need to pray? And this is actually maybe a little bit more difficult of a question than I have time to really explore, because I struggle with this as well. If God does know all these things, what am I doing? But ultimately, the purpose of prayer is simply just to connect with God. It's to allow our spirits to connect with him, to enjoy fellowship with him, to enjoy spending time with him. Augustine, one of the great Christian leaders in the early church, said that you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you. Powerful words that speak of this connection. We were made in the image of God. We were made to be connected to him. And that is where we find rest. Until our hearts are restless, until they rest in you. If we are doing anything else, if we are trying to find our fulfillment anywhere else, it won't happen. Because the place we were created to find fulfillment is with God. And when we pray, we connect to him in one of the deepest ways that we have in this life. Why are we praying? To connect with God. To share our heart with his. To share our needs with him. We can tell him all kinds of things. He wants us to tell him our hurts and our fears, our struggles, our triumphs, our needs, even our wants. He wants us to tell him. He knows already. But he still wants to share that moment with us, to share the emotions that are wrapped up with those things. He wants to connect with us. But I think more importantly, And even most importantly, this is something that I've kind of been wrestling with and I came to just in the last couple of years. More and more I'm understanding that the purpose of prayer, while we're sharing all these things and asking God to help us in different ways, the most important part of prayer is the fact that God, when we pray, molds our hearts into His image. The most important part of our prayer life is allowing God to change us. So often we think about prayer as asking God to change or asking Him to do what we want Him to do. But the deeper you get into prayer, the further you get into relationship with God, you come to see that what I want isn't even right. Even if it's kind of good things, it's still not quite right. We need God to mold us. And so when we pray, He will change what we want. He will change what we think we need. He will change what we care about, what we hope for, and He will mold it into His perfect plan. Our desires will become His. Our hopes and our dreams will become His. Our worries even will become His. The things that He's concerned with will become burdens on our own hearts more and more. And the things that we used to care about will begin to fall away. Soren Kierkegaard is one of the greatest philosophers in history, and he was a Christian dude. And he was awesome. He said, "Prayer does not change God, it changes the one who prays." And so that's where that relationship between asking God for things and the fact that God promises that He will deliver is complicated, because ultimately what we're doing when we're praying is allowing our own hearts to be open to what God wants. I don't know how it works. It's incredible to me, this relationship between these things. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Jesus says this: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be opened." He goes on that, would you give your children a snake if they ask for bread? How much more is God going to give you good things? He loves you. He cares about you. If you ask God for good things, He will give you good things, even more than you've asked. And yet, our concern is not with God giving us things. As we pray, we become more and more concerned with what God wants. I don't know how that works. I don't know how this relationship between these two things is supposed to happen. But we are supposed to ask. In the book of James, it says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Our prayers make a difference. They do something. I don't know what it is. But they do something. God is moved by our prayers. But the purpose in our prayer is not to change God. It's to change our hearts. How then should we be praying? If this is why, what does prayer actually look like? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus describes it a little bit before us, before He gets into the Lord's Prayer. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." Don't be standing in public praying loudly for other people to see how spiritual you are, using big flowery language and impressive words. It says here essentially that God doesn't even hear them. They've got their reward in full. He goes on, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." Humbly, quietly. It's a personal, intimate moment with God. "Then your Father," He says, "who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." And when you pray, He goes on, "Do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." I think that's an important part of this passage as well, because I think sometimes we treat prayer almost like magic. that if I just say it just right, or if I just pray hard enough, or if I use the right words, or I'm just spiritual enough, then God will do what I want. It's an easy trap to get sucked into, to treat prayer like some magic thing, but it isn't. We come and we submit to God humbly. We ask Him for things that we need, but He knows what we need before we ask Him, and He loves us. He's promised us that He will take care of us. It's not about convincing God. It's not about begging Him. It's not about being powerful enough to move Him. It's allowing Him to work and submitting to that. How should we pray? Don't be not big flowery language. It's not magic. It's not babbling on and on. It's honest. It's humble. It's simple. Now, Jesus talked about going in your room by yourself. There's opportunity as well to pray with other believers. And that's not wrong to pray in front of other people. That's important. The Bible talks over and over again about how we're supposed to gather together as believers and pray together. But what Jesus is speaking about is our heart position, that we are coming humbly and we're speaking to God, not to the other people that might be there. But it is a personal and an intimate time, and we need to build that time into our lives as well to connect with our Creator. There's speaking in that, but there's silence as well. And if we are going to allow our hearts to be molded by God, we have to listen to Him. We have to allow Him to speak. Prayer is so often just understood as us talking. But far more important, I think, is allowing God to speak. Giving Him space to speak to you. And that might sound weird. That might be a really real challenge for some people. You feel like you're just sitting there in silence and nothing is happening. We have to learn to hear God's voice. It takes time to tune ourselves to hear God. But as you practice it, as you work on that, it will become more and more clear. God wants to speak to you. He does, I promise you. He wants to tell you how He loves you, how He cares for you. He wants to tell you the things that He has for you in your life. But we have to listen. We have to hear Him. Another way to pray that I find effective for myself is writing out my prayers. I find my mind wanders a lot if I'm just kind of sitting and thinking my prayer or even speaking it sometimes. I find writing it down can be hugely helpful. Keeps me focused. And then beyond that, you have the ability to go back and read prayers that you've written in the past. And sometimes as you write out needs or prayer requests, things that you're praying on behalf of others or maybe an illness or different things, you can begin to see the pattern of God responding to your prayers. As you look back at the things you used to pray, things that you were concerned with, you can see how God is following through on His promise to care for you as He answers prayer. It's important that we remember so much of the Old Testament and even in the New Testament is God and His people, His prophets, His teachers, going over the stories of what He has done again and again and again and again. Because we forget when we get into the middle of a situation of a struggle. We forget that God is faithful. We forget that God takes care of us. We forget how He has responded in the past. And so we have to remind ourselves. And it's important to see the stories in Scripture, the ways God has worked there, but it's important to see what God has done in your life too. God is alive and active today, and when we record what we're praying about, we can remember and see that. Another way to pray is to read the prayers of others. There are powerful and beautiful prayers that were written by Christian people throughout history. Francis of Assisi was a wonderful prayer warrior, and some of his prayers are just beautiful. Augustine is another. There's many, many, many incredible collections of prayers. Because prayer is just not about asking God for things. If we're asking God to change our hearts, it's a form of worship. And so we can use the prayers of others, the poetry, the way that they've spoken and written about God, can inspire us in our relationship with Him as well. Try praying through the Psalms. Dennis pointed us there as we were looking at the Word. You pray through the Psalms, you see so many different moments of relating to God. Times of triumph, times of hurt, times of fear. The psalmists express incredibly powerful emotions. We can look to them. Don't set an unrealistic goal, though. If you're new to prayer, even if you've been a Christian for a long time and you've struggled with prayer, don't suddenly say, I'm going to pray for an hour a day. I've never run before, but I'm going to run the Boston Marathon next week. You got to build up to it. You have to train yourself. Spiritual disciplines take time to cultivate. Set realistic goals. 5 minutes. Allow yourself to enter in with God and allow Him to build that desire in you further and further. What then should we be praying for? Well, anything. Everything. We give God thanks. We give God glory and worship. We pray for His kingdom to come and that His will would be done. We can pray for ourselves, our lives, our relationship with Him, our worries and fears, our families and friends, the needs that we see there. We can pray for our church and the things that God is doing here. And we can pray for the other churches in Leduc, what the body of believers is doing in our community and around the world. We can pray for our city and our world leaders. Those leading our community organizations need our prayers as well. We can pray for our missionaries that are at work overseas. When we start to list out the things that we need to pray for, it starts to become hard to even limit it to 5 minutes. Because there's a lot of things that we can be bringing to God and allowing Him to speak into our hearts as well. I don't know, there's so much more that we can say on prayer. Prayer is huge. Prayer is everything. But experience it. You need to see, taste and see for yourselves what prayer is like. Use these different tools: writing, reading, silence, praying with others, to expand your ability to pray, your desire. But we're created to be connected to God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. And prayer is one of the most powerful ways we have to connect with Him. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for prayer. I thank You that You are this incredible God that created everything, this powerful being so far beyond us. But You still want to connect to us. You still want to speak to us wherever we are, God. Maybe we've never prayed before in our lives. Maybe we've never had anything to do with You. God, You want to speak to us because You love us. Maybe we've been walking with You for a long time. You still have new things to say, new ways to challenge and encourage us. Father, You are alive, and what You want for us is real and powerful and exciting. Father, fill us with Your Spirit. Inspire us to prayer for Your kingdom, for Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand with us again.